You got your Bibles this morning. We're looking at Jeremiah. Poor Jeremiah. Have you ever read the whole book of Jeremiah? I mean, this poor guy. All he was doing was being faithful to God's call. And he was just sharing what that truth was and the stuff he had to go through to endure just by being obedient to God's word. The life that that poor guy had to live is amazing if you read it sometime. But he was faithful in carrying out. And so this is the period of time that we're going to look at where God had told them if they were disobedient, they didn't turn from their wicked ways. Understand that most of God's word to us is about us turning from our wicked ways. Now, he provided a way of salvation for his children of Israel through Jesus Christ, and then God grafted us in as Gentiles. But understand that through that comes a great responsibility of obedience that we don't talk about. But this is kind of where God had warned them, and he had warned them, and he had warned them, and he had warned them, and they still decided to do what they wanted to do. So this is kind of where was going to be over all. The king of Babylon was going to be over the whole world. God was using the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, as an instrument of God. Did you realize that? Even though he was a wicked man, he was an instrument of God. Did you realize that? God has wicked people that are his instruments to carry out his purposes. So this is kind of where this picks up. So things are getting bad. He's telling the remnant to stay in Judah. And they decide it's better, the grass is greener on the other side. Let's go to Egypt. That's where everything's great. Everything's good in Egypt. So then all the commanders and forces of Johanan, the son of Kareah, Jezaniah, and the son of Hosiah, and all the people, both small and great, approached and said to Jeremiah the prophet, "Please let our petition come before you and pray for us to the Lord your God." They didn't even acknowledge him anymore as their God. He asked somebody else to pray. Have you ever had somebody else come and ask, "And will you pray for me?" Guess what? You don't have to have somebody to pray for you. You can go to God into the throne of mercy and grace yourself. But see, when you get into trouble and you don't know this God personally, then you have to ask for other people to pray for your situation. And there's nothing wrong with praying, asking people to pray with you or for you. But in this situation, they didn't recognize him as their God. They recognized him as, oh, this other guy who knows God, we'll ask him to pray for us. And listen, because it's kind of amazing. And remember why God wrote this is so that we could learn from the experiences that these people had encountered. So pray for us to the Lord your God, that is for this remnant, because we are left but a few out of many, as your own eyes can now see, that the Lord your God may tell us the way in which we should walk and the thing that we should do. Oh God, I want to know your will. God, I want you to tell me how to live. God, I want it to be all about you. Father God, please let me hear from you, because we're going to obey you, God. Let's see what happens. Then Jeremiah the prophet said to them, "I have heard you. Behold, I am going to pray to the Lord your God in accordance with your words, and I will tell you the whole message which the Lord will answer you. I will not keep back a word from you." Unfortunately, as a pastor, sometimes I have to preach and teach and tell things that God tells me to tell, as unpleasant and as hurtful and harmful, and bringing up memories and things that they are. The reason God does that is because he wants us to spend eternity with him. He loves us so much that he sometimes put us through the suffering in the flesh so that we appreciate his mercy and his grace. Without the suffering in the flesh, we can't appreciate what he's done for us. We can't know who we are without the sufferings. If we don't persevere, we fail the test. Those that persevere to the end will be saved. It's not those that just say a prayer and, oh, I'm going to heaven, and it's all done. This is a work in progress. We're God's workmanship. He's the one that's bringing us along. He's the one that gives us that spirit. Eventually, somewhere along discipleship in our life, somewhere along that way, he gives us that Holy Spirit that now resides in us, which allows us to persevere. That's not taught today. But he's not going to keep a word back from you. He said, I'm going to be honest with you. Whatever God says, I'm going to tell you. Okay? A preacher's responsibility is to tell you what God's word says, not to change the word of God so you'll come and join his church. Huh? So many pastors make this palliative and make it so wonderful that, oh, you're down on your luck. Boy, you just throw it at Jesus' feet and everything will be good. Well, tell Jeremiah that. Tell Jeremiah how wonderful it was to be obedient to God. See, I don't think we look at Scripture from the practicality of life. I think we create a different God out there, that the one that we're pleased with. Then they said to Jeremiah, may the Lord be a true and faithful witness against us if we do not act in accordance with the whole message with which the Lord your God will send you to us, whether it is pleasant or unpleasant. In other words, I just want to hear from God. I don't care if it's pleasant or unpleasant. We're ready to hear from him. That's where we're at in our life. We'll listen to the voice of the Lord our God, to whom we are sending you, so that it may go well with us when we listen to the voice of the Lord our God. Oh, now he's their God, right? Now I'll recognize him as our God. Now at the end of the 10 days, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. So sometimes it takes a little while, doesn't it? 10 days. Jeremiah went away, prayed to God. 10 days later, he comes back. Then he called for Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the commanders of the forces that were with him, and for all the people, both small and great. And he said to them, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, to whom you sent me to present your petition before him. If you will indeed stay in this land, then I will build you up and not tear you down. And I will plant you and not uproot you. And I will relent concerning the calamity that I have inflicted on you. God inflicted calamity. Oh no, that's not the God we want, is it? A God that actually inflicts calamity on us? Yes, God does. Don't think that all these tornadoes and tsunamis and earthquakes and are just a happen of chance. The pestilences, the viruses, all the things that are happening in our world today is because of disobedience. Let's not let science have the victory over this and try to explain everything that's happening in our world. Man, our weathermen can't even predict the weather if God doesn't allow it. What the weatherman should say, it's going to rain tomorrow if God wills. Not, oh, it's going to rain tomorrow. Huh, it may not even rain. Do you know where we are at now in our world because we have become so indoctrinated with science and our technologies that we're now canceling work, schools, and everything because there might be a thunderstorm, potential tornadoes? And so we're canceling it. We're all running away. We're going to stop society because we're afraid of a thunderstorm now. Okay, what? If it's your time to go, God can direct that tornado. How many people that got sent home from work, that tornado hit their house and now they're dead? If they'd stayed at work, they'd been alive. So you can look at it from both ways, folks. But this is where we're at, is that we have now allowed man to identify the works of God and give us a reason for them. Did y'all see that aurora the other night? God said there's going to be strange lights in the skies. You know who put that there? God did. It wasn't a phenomena of science. It was the prophecy coming true at the end times that there's going to be strange lights at the end time. Read the scriptures. He'll tell you exactly what's going to happen. Just like Jeremiah's going to tell these folks exactly what's going to happen in their lives if they don't listen and obey God's word. He goes on to say, Then he called for the son of Kish and all the commanders, the forces were with him, and all the people, both small and great. So everybody came and said to him, thus says the Lord God of Israel, to whom you sent to present your petition before him. If you stay in the land, then I will build you up and not tear you down. I'll plant you and not uproot you, and I will relent concerning the calamity that I inflicted on you. Do not be afraid of the king of Babylon, whom you are now fearing. Do not be afraid of him, declares the Lord, for I am with you to save you and deliver you from his hand. I will also show you compassion so that he will have compassion on you and restore you to your own soil. But if you are going to say, we will not stay in the land, so as to not listen to the voice of the Lord your God, saying, no, we will go to the land of Egypt, where we will see war, where we will not see war, or hear the sound of a trumpet, or hunger for bread, and we will stay there. Then in that case, listen to the word of the Lord, O remnant of Judah. Thus say the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, if you really set your mind to enter the Egypt and go in and reside there, then the sword which you are afraid of will overtake you there in the land of Egypt, and famine and about which you are anxious will follow closely after you there in Egypt, and you will die there. So all the men who set their mind to go to Egypt to reside there will die by the sword, by famine, by pestilence, and they will have no survivors or refuges from the calamity that I'm going to bring on them. For thus says the Lord of hosts, of God of Israel, as my anger and my... God gets angry? God is wrathful? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that who believes in him should not perish, should not perish. So there's a perishing that God's saving us from, remember? So the anger and wrath have been poured out on the inhabitants of Jerusalem. So my wrath will be poured out on you when you enter Egypt, and you'll become a curse, an object, whore, and imprecation, and reproach, and you will see this place no more. The Lord has spoken to you, O remnant of Judah. Do not go into Egypt. Well, let's get plain here. Don't go to Egypt. Do not go to Egypt. You should clearly understand that today I have testified against you. For you have not only deceived yourselves, for it is you who sent me to the Lord your God, saying, pray for us to the Lord your God, and whatever the Lord our God says, tell us so that we'll do it. So I have told you today, but you have not obeyed the Lord your God, even in whatever he has sent me to tell you. Therefore, you should now clearly understand that you will die by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence in the place where you wish to reside. So, but as soon as Jeremiah, whom the Lord their God had sent, had finished telling all the people all the words of the Lord their God, that is, all these words, Azariah, the son of Hoshaiah and Johanan and the son of Kareah and all the arrogant men said to Jeremiah, you are telling a lie. The Lord our God has not sent you to say you're not to enter Egypt to reside there. See, most people want God to come on what we've already decided in our minds. When we pray to God, this is what we're going to do. We pray to God that says, God, this is what you're supposed to do. Now, God, we're going to tell you what to do. That's what kids do nowadays, right? They tell parents what to do. Parents don't tell kids what to do by any means, do they? We don't want to hurt their little feelings, do we? Huh? So now we have turned this around, and now we are telling God what to do. And they've asked for this. And yet they hear the word of God, and they're saying, no, you're lying to us. This isn't right. Barak, the son of Neriah, is inciting you against us to grieve us over the hand of the Chaldeans, so we will put us to death or exile us to Babylon. So all Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the commanders of the forces and all the people did not obey the voice of the Lord to stay in the land of Judah. Read the rest of it. I won't read the rest of it. They went on ahead and went to Egypt. And God caused even the Egyptians to suffer. There's something greater than the Egyptian suffering. See, I don't think people want to hear truly what God is saying today. It's the same message that was here when John the Baptist first came and It says, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus Christ came and said, I am the kingdom of God, repent. Jesus told the disciples, go out and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to repent. See, there's this thing of repentance. There's this thing of that God does not associate with, does have anything to do with, is sin. We're born dead in our trespasses of sin. We're not spiritual beings when we're born. First comes flesh and then comes the spirit. He talks about the new birth experience, that you have to be born again to be that child of God, which puts the Holy Spirit within you so that you can, when you hear the voice of God, respond to it. And we're not going to like a lot what God's word says in the flesh. The flesh and the spirit are at opposite ends of each other. There's no communication between the two. They're totally opposite ends of the spectrum. This is a final message that God gives to us. And this is in Revelations 22. And he said to me, do not seal up the words of the prophets of this book, for the time is near. In other words, let it be spoken. Don't seal it up, but let it be told all over the world, the prophecy of this book. Let the one who does wrong still do wrong, and let the one who is filthy still be filthy. And let the one who is righteous still practice righteousness, and the one who is holy still keep himself holy. In other words, there comes a time when there's no more conversions. There comes a time in the history of mankind where God's Spirit no longer strives with man. He teaches us that. I will not always strive with man. The restrainer is being taken away, as and in the world that we live in today. The restrainer is the one that holds back evil. The Holy Spirit holds back the evil in this world, slowly being taken away. The deception. God says, I will allow a great deluding influence to become on men so that they'll believe what is false. We've already seen that with the coronavirus. Folks, the prophecies of this book are coming true right before our eyes, and we still deny the power and the word of God in our lives. Behold, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me to render to every man according to what he's done. Everyone will stand before God. You cannot blame your situation. It's not a situation theology here. It's a fact that you'll stand before Almighty God and you'll give account of yourself. And if you have not believed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, which has caused you to become a disciple, which has caused a change in your life, that you become that new creature, that you become the ambassador of Christ, the salt of the earth, the lamp that's on a hill stand, so that you become that instrument of God that he uses to bring others to himself. You're going to be accountable for that. He says, I am the Alpha, and I'm going to remind you, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. There's nothing more greater than me. There's nothing that exists than me. I am all that matters to mankind. The first, the last, the beginning, and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so they have the right to the tree of life and enter by the gate to the city. When you wash something, you expect it to... When you put dirty clothes in a washer and it comes out dirty, you need to get a new washing machine or a new detergent. This Jesus Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Okay, we may not be there yet, but you're the workman of God. It's a being perfected by God. You may not have the perfection yet, but you should be striving for that perfection. God never leaves anyone where he finds them. Matter of fact, God finds us. We don't find him. Jesus finds us. I seek those that are lost. I seek those that are sick. No one seeks after God. No, not one. We bring nothing to this table. He goes on to say, outside are the dogs. So if you're not a child of God, you remain that dog, that sorcerer, and the immoral persons, the murderers, idolatries, everyone who loves and practices lying. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you that these things for the churches. I am the root of the descendant of David, of the bright and morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes to take the water of life without cost. This doesn't cost anything. But it costs everything. It's one of those paradoxes. You got preachers out there that are peddling the Word of God, and they have a message that can help somebody, but you got to buy their tape. Well, if it's a message from God, you don't have to buy it. Folks, you don't have to buy other people's tapes. I guarantee you, they're not getting it from here. Okay? God wrote this down so it wouldn't cost you anything. Okay, you can get this, but you have to come to Him with the right heart, the right purpose, and the right mind. It's to become the righteousness of God. It's to be cleansed from that unrighteousness. It's He begins a work in you. Okay, I testify, everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues which are written in this book. You know why so many people are having so many problems? You know why so many churches are having so many problems? Huh? Because they're not the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're a denomination. And they're teaching heresy. They're teaching lies. They're teaching whatever it takes to build a denomination and not the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't really care if people are born again. They care if people come to their church and become active. But God's going to add those plagues, and this is why we have all the stuff going on that we have today, is because we come so far from God's Word. And if anyone takes away from the words of this book, of the prophecy of God, he'll take away his part from the tree of life and from the holy city which are written in this book. He who testifies of these things says, yes, I'm coming quickly. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus, the grace of the Lord Jesus. Amen. John 3:17. Real quick. For God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world, but the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged. He does not believe has been judged already. So basically what he's saying, if you don't have that belief that leads to the relationship of Almighty God, then you've already been judged. God has judged this world. The church responsibility is not to judge the world. The Holy Spirit is the one to convict, is only who has the one responsibility to convict us of our sins, not the church. Okay? That's not our responsibility. Our responsibility is to be that light, that help. We're to lead people into discipleship and then turn it over to God and let them be taught by God. The scripture says those that are taught by God come to the saving knowledge of who He is. Knowledge comes from fear. If you don't fear God, you can't get the knowledge that it requires to know Him. And you can't have the wisdom that you can use the knowledge that allows you during your discipleship to receive that Holy Spirit. This is a judgment. Okay, so again, He didn't come to judge. It's God who's the judge. Jesus was just the Lamb of God that God used to save the nation of Israel. And then again, graft us in later. But then the judgment is God. So when He sent His Son, not only is the Savior, but now He's God's judgment. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and the men loved the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. What's it about? Evil deeds. Okay? For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. That's what this book does. It exposes me. That's why these other books that men write about God, that tells how loving God is and how wonderful God is, and just come as you are, that's only half the truth. If you come as you are, He's not going to leave you as you come. That's the part we don't like. That's the part we want to leave out. God cannot associate with sin. You cannot practice sin and be a child of God. It's impossible. Now, you can be interrupted in your relationship by sin, but there's no way you can practice it and enjoy it and be a part of it and say that I've been born again. Can't do it. Impossible. But we don't want to read this because we want to focus on somebody else's sin and not our own. This book was written so that you would know who you are, not so you know who what your neighbor's doing. But he who practices the truth comes to the light. If you begin to practice this, you'll come to the light. But if you don't practice it, it doesn't do any good to read it if you don't practice it. What good does it do it to buy a Peloton bike if you never get on it? Wow, it looks pretty. It's good to hang clothes on, isn't it, huh? Yeah, we've done that before, haven't we? I sit right beside the bed, we still hang clothes on, and we still don't get on that rascal. We don't practice. We don't practice what God's teaching us. We're not practicing in the Word. We're not practicing how we raise our kids. We're not practicing how we come in here to worship. We're not practicing God's Word on anything. And then we wonder where God's at today. We can't claim. Religion's not going to save us, folks. Religion is going to let us down. And the worst case is that God says, "Depart from me, I never knew you." But those who practice truth come to light so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought by God. So in other words, when people see this change in my life, when they see me struggling with the flesh, when they see me falling and then making amends and repenting of those things and fighting this battle in the flesh, that's the best witness, is knowing that God's at work in me, that I've been wrought with God, that I've been with God, that God has been with me. He's changing this undone man. He's perfecting into something that is useful to him so that others might come to know him. I mean, what a neat message that God keeps giving us. And yet, are we going to be like these people? That's not the message. That's not the right answer, God. God, you messed up again. You didn't give me the right answer. You know, no. Huh? Sometimes what God tells you, most of the time what God tells you, you're not going to like. Okay? Because it's contrary to our nature.